Welcome to the Well-Nourished Mother Podcast. This is a show for women who desire a deeper, more mindful, and meaningful pregnancy, birth, and motherhood experience. In this space, we bring so much reverence to the rite of passage that is the maiden to mother journey. I'm your host, Lauren Fortuna Flock, founder of Nest and Nourish. I'm an ex-nurse turned birth worker, holistic nutritionist, and somatic coaching student with a fiery passion for birth prep and motherhood prep that blends the head and the heart. Join me for inspiring conversations with experts, mothers, and all-around badass wise women, exploring all the ways we can nourish ourselves, body, mind, and heart, in pregnancy, birth, and motherhood. This space will help you cultivate the knowledge, practices, and resources you need to be the most embodied, vibrant, authentic, intuitive, and well-nourished mother you deserve to be. So welcome. Let's do this.
Good morning.
Hi. Hi, good morning. Nice to see you.
How has your weekend been?
It's the weekend?
Yeah, I know. You don't really have your weekends or...
I have no sense of weekday weekend because my husband works on the weekends. So our weekend feels like midweek, Tuesday, Wednesday kind of thing. So,
yeah.
It's been good. What did I do? We went swimming yesterday or the day before. We haven't done a whole lot. Just kind of staying home and hanging out with family. What about
you? And you took Zoe to gymnastics the first time earlier this week, right?
Yeah. That was
so
fun. Yeah, she loved it. She loved it. Was it
just like a drop-in thing, or are you starting an actual like program with her?
Yeah, it was like you can trial a class as a drop-in the first time, and then you have to decide if you continue on. So yeah, we're going to continue on. But yeah, she loved it. We went on they had a big trampoline, a big foam pit. So she was just like jumping into this giant foam pit, doing somersaults and all kinds of stuff. She loved it. So that'll be a fun weekly outing for us.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I've been like so resistant towards putting Aubrey in anything, because I feel like up until kind of this age, like I'd say 2.5 and 3 is kind of when it starts making sense. But prior to that, it all just felt like a money grab to me. I'm like, if I were to put her in like gymnastics or even like swimming lessons or like some little kids soccer sport thing, like it's all parent involved. So it's like, I can do all that at home. We have like all the things at home to do things. Like she has, foamy thingies and a climbing triangle and like, I don't know. So only now am I kind of like, I wonder if I should start looking into stuff. She loves like dance and music. So I'd like to maybe look at something like that. But again, it's all parent like, what's the word? Not parent led, but
participation.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's not actually helpful for me right now. Maybe I can send her with a grandparent.
Yeah, I agree. Like we had Zoe in a soccer thing probably like 6 months ago, and it was too early. Like it was, there was a lot of
she would have been like just 2-ish, like just, a little bit older than 2.
Yeah. A lot of just like clinging to my leg and not wanting to participate. And it's like, well, why are we here? But it was still fun.
And you paid for it. Like it made me wonder if it is just a drop in and like it's, but I was looking at some of them and some of them are like several hundred dollars. I'm like, I don't think I'm prepared to pay that when exactly like she's just going to cling to my leg. We go to our like local library quite a bit. They have like it's a play area. It's not like an indoor playground, but it's like they have like tables set up with like different puzzles and Lego and like different age range stuff. So we go there a bit, and Aubrey likes to kind of follow big kids around. So that works. But other than that, I haven't really put her in anything structured yet.
What else is going on with you? How's your weekend?
What else is going on with me? I feel like, today is definitely the weekend, because Dylan is home on Saturday and Sunday, so it feels different. We went on a little brunch date yesterday, which was nice. We don't, like, go out very often, just the two of us. And, like, the times that we have gone out since Aubrey's been born, it's been, like, a quick dinner or something. So brunch felt a little bit different because it wasn't, like, a cozy like dinner spot with like a glass of wine. It was like, this is still like middle of the day. I'm thinking about my to-do list. We're like kind of running errands. Like we went and returned some stuff after, but like that was also still really fun. And enjoyable to obviously spend time with him, but not have to be momming. Cause like this age is just like I love it. It's honestly my favorite season of motherhood so far, but it is also like the hardest season of motherhood. And I feel like we kind of isolate ourselves because I just get so much anxiety going out with her. Like transitions are super hard. So getting her back in the car, taking her anywhere, she does not cling to my leg when we're out in public. She wants to just like run. She's totally one of those kids that like, if I was one of those parents, she'd be on a leash, but I'm not one of those parents. So instead she's just a mile ahead of me. And yeah, when Dylan and I go out with her, like it's, there's no present time together. So it was nice to be able to enjoy a meal together without having to parent. so that was yesterday. We're getting like dumps of snow. And I sound surprised, but like this happens every year here in Calgary. Like we always get a March spring snow and it's like a different kind of snow. It's really light, I guess. I don't even know what makes snow light versus heavy. Maybe the temperature and the moisture content. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like literally like a foot of snow and it just keeps falling. While 2 weeks ago, all of our snow finally melted from winter. So it's a little bit disheartening because it's like, spring was here and now it's gone. But at the same time, the moisture is so, so good for the earth. So I'm really kind of sinking into the gratitude around that instead of the frustration of, the nice warm weather is gone and I can't go for like a nice leisurely walk. Because I don't go outside when it's snowy. I am not a winter person.
You need to move to Vancouver Island.
No, I very much live in the wrong part of the world. I know that. I've known that basically since the day I was born. I do not like any winter activities. What else is going on for me? I feel like I'm finally feeling ready to start talking about Recalibrate again. And that's really exciting. For those that don't know, Lauren was in the first iteration of Recalibrate last year. It was absolutely beautiful. It is my mastermind, my mother mind, which is a mastermind for mother entrepreneurs. And I've been meeting some resistance with relaunching it and like the timeline of it and my own, I think just like shit that I have to work through before I can do it again. And at first I was attached to kind of having it be back to back and running it twice a year. So the next round would have started back in December. That was like very clear in my body that was a no. So I released all of my attachment to that. And then I kind of moved the date to March. It was going to be like the spring equinox. So just last week. And again, same kind of resistance. It just was not time. I would have been forcing it. I would have been putting just too much, force into something that wasn't ready. And finally, again, releasing that date, it's now feeling like a big exhale from my body. And I think it's supposed to start again in June, just like it did last year. There's a reason. Like, it's funny how as soon as you kind of get your mind into things and you start trying to micromanage it and try to logic your way through it. And I think for me, there was a bit of a, well, I want this to be kind of my, I don't know, like signature offer, for lack of a better word. And so I'm going to run it twice a year. And like the attachment of it being like my one main thing was so constricting and like suffocating. So just releasing all of that and allowing it to flow through me and just leaning into Recalibrate as its own like separate entity, which is how I saw it from the very beginning, and allowing it to kind of just help guide me with how it wants to be created and how it wants to be birthed this year. So that's feeling really good because I've just kind of like raised my hands and like, Kate, like whenever it's time, because again, the other thing is, you know, this, like Dylan just transitioned jobs. He left his very stable and secure 9 to 5 and has joined the dark side of entrepreneurship. And so there's a lot of financial insecurity for us. And that is like, it's not us getting stuck in a scarcity mindset. It is the reality that we don't know what kind of money is coming in the next couple of months. So I think, again, I was putting so much pressure on myself to, then I need to like force this and get it out there sooner and all the things. And so, yeah, just full body exhale to release some of that and just kind of like trust that like it's all going to unfold exactly as it's supposed to, just like it did the first time. And the right people that are supposed to be in it are going to come into my world. Like, it's all just going to align just as it's supposed to if I keep showing up and putting myself out there and talking mm-hmm. about it. So, yeah.
Trust.
So, yeah, that's feeling good, because I feel like even like 2 weeks ago, there was still a lot of friction around, oh my God, like I need to start talking about this thing if I really want to be launching it soon. And so, yeah, just moving it back even farther feels really good. And I think that's actually a really important conversation to maybe normalize, because I think it can be really easy to be like, oh, well, you're just like self-sabotaging or giving up, or I don't even know what other language might be used around it. And I had shared earlier on my Instagram stories this week that you and I experienced a bit of a flop with our women's circle that we wanted to host for the spring equinox. And again, I really felt pulled to share some of that online and kind of normalize that this happens and it's not mm-hmm. actually a flop. It's not actually a fail.
No.
It has nothing to do with our worthiness and who we are as awesome human beings, and has nothing to do with how epic that circle would have been had people have signed up. And for me, like just really leaning into the universal protection that I see in all of it. And I had still been sick. I'm honestly still kind of sick. This is like two, mm-hmm. it'll be 2 weeks tomorrow. I can't believe it. But like, it just was not the right time. I think we both would have been, I don't know. I can't speak for you, but I know for me, I would have been overriding my body to show up for that call. And mm-hmm. I feel like I've done so much work to kind of undo some of that, that I'm glad that, I don't know. I don't even know. It's just really interesting, because again, it can be so, so quick to allow our minds to go like, oh, well, that was a fail. Something was wrong with you. Something was wrong with the messaging. So like, whatever the story is. And the thing is those are just stories.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm actually so surprised that, like, I'm surprised at my own lack of an internal dialogue about it all this time around.
Yeah. Like peace. Like you kind of had this like really strong inner peace throughout the whole process. You're like, well, if people sign up, cool. If people don't, cool. Like you, yeah, it was like this beautiful, there was never any strong attachment to an outcome. Like you were literally just along for the ride.
Well, and it just felt like play to me. And I feel like that's what it should all feel like, right? Yeah, when you're trying to create something and birth something into the world. Yeah. If it's coming from this playful energy and you're not attached to the outcome, then it's allowed to grow and morph and change and flop or whatever word you want to put on it, right?
Well, and I think that playful energy also makes it that much easier to get back up and do it again.
Yeah.
Because was no... you didn't make it mean anything about you. So it's just like, okay, let's try it again. Like there's that playful, innocent curiosity. And I love that. I think, I don't even remember if I verbalized that. I think that was kind of one of my intentions. I don't know if I verbalized it in our last call, but I know kind of just for this year, one of my big intentions is really leaning into that like playful, and like not playful in the sense of like everything has to be fun, but playful in the sense that like, there's this flow and there's this just like less tension that I am self-inflicting. I feel like my whole life I've made things harder than they need to be. So
there's like an ease to it. And I don't know how I got here, because that is certainly not how I've been. I've had a lot of my own like self-sabotage and like worry about launching things and releasing things and actually like putting myself out there. So I don't know what's changed, and I'm not going to overanalyze it, but I'm just going to accept that something has changed, and it feels good. So I'm just going to roll with it and see what happens. And maybe it's just like a cyclical thing as well. And maybe I'm sure I'll be back to, you know, having those other stories pop up in the future, and that's fine. But I feel like right now I have like a little bit more capacity to kind of tolerate it all. I shouldn't even say to tolerate, like just more capacity to be with it all.
It's interesting how the word tolerate comes into that, because we, I think for both of us as like nervous system nerds, we see it as this window of tolerance. So it's like, I have more tolerance, but like that, you're right. That isn't really the right word for it. I'd like to reflect something back to you just as like your friend and witnessing creation move through you. I don't remember when you were in Mexico. Was it middle of February?
February? Yeah.
I feel like when you came back from Mexico, you, I mean, very clearly had said, oh my God, I needed that so much, and that rest and that kind of like deep unplug from social media and consuming and all of it. Mm-hmm. Like when you came back from that, you came back so refreshed, and it was almost like the really beautiful, tender flame in your belly was reignited. And like the passion was there again. And I think when the passion's there, that brings in more fun and play and joy. And I feel like ever since then, you have kind of moved through life with a little bit less tension and friction. And like, I see that in just the way you've been showing up online in your stories. And then of course, like the women's circle in person that you held with Judith and like leading up to that. And even you and I in the creation of finally doing this podcast series, like very easily could have attached to some stories and kind of like slowed us down. And I know we both commended ourselves last episode for how effortlessly we pulled this together, because it was kind of not like us. But so yeah, I'm just kind of like reflecting and witnessing that's kind of been your new story for like the past almost, like, what is that, 6 weeks?
So
I wonder if like the secret is that deep rest that you finally allowed yourself to have, because I don't think you've experienced that since being a mom.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. And I think I developed a really bad relationship with scrolling Instagram and just comparing myself to other people. And I'm following too many people that are doing things similar to me, which we talk about this all the time too. Like, there's a level of inspiration, but when does that kind of turn into these, like the sister wound, this like feelings of inadequacy. And then you start, you know, seeing people doing things that you want to do, and you're like, oh, well, what's the point? I don't need to even try, because someone's doing it and they're probably doing it better than me. But so I was really kind of stuck in this, like this overconsumption mode. And it was just completely blocking me from my own creativity and my own ability to put anything out into the world and to show up. So yeah, I think that's what, you know, going on vacation really did for me. I seriously unplugged from my phone. I didn't even look at it like almost the entire time we were there. And then when we got back, I was so committed to, you know, not letting myself get back into that kind of spiral. And I think I've done okay. I'm certainly kind of edging back towards, you know, the endless scroll once in a while, but and much more conscious of it and mindful of it. And yeah, I'll probably even use this little check-in and your beautiful recognition of this. Thank you for that. I'll use this as another little, kind of little nice little love tap to the face to to like, yeah, just be a little more conscious about it again, because you're right. There has been, you know, really good outcomes from that. So why would I let myself kind of fall back into that pattern? So yeah, I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, it is nice to be able to bring your awareness to the evidence of like, yeah, there have actually been some positive outcomes. And it is what's the word I'm looking for? Like, you're able to almost like see the fruits of your harvest, right? Like the discomfort potentially of being on your phone less. And I don't even know if that is, like, I don't know what the process has been since you've been back. I know I can speak for myself. Yeah. Like, I have been untangling my relationship with social media quite heavily for, I'd say, like the past 6 or 7 months. And it goes in seasons where I see improvement, and then I kind of dip right back into old tendencies. And I can recognize that when I have those dips and I fall back to old tendencies, it's often because like other needs aren't being met. And so again, I'm using social media as that, I don't even know what it is. If it's like this gap filler of like, this is what I'm kind of trying to explore, is like when I notice myself kind of doing the autopilot scroll, and I don't like doom scroll. Like when I'm scrolling, it is positive, and like it doesn't necessarily make me feel bad, but it pulls me out of my own inner world. And that spirals this, what we kind of call inspiration, but really it's not inspiration, because it's pulling us out of our own inner world. So instead of hearing my own magic inside mm-hmm. of me. I'm now just seeing everyone else's. And eventually that turns into, oh, I'm not good enough. Or like, she's doing it better. Or, oh, I wish I could articulate myself that way. It's mm-hmm. not even so much like I'm not good enough. It's just like, oh my God, everyone around me is just so amazing.
Yes,
right?
yes.
Like, and so that's where we kind of, hi, Aubrey, that's where it gets really confusing, because we tell ourselves, oh, I'm just so inspired. Like, that person
Yeah.
online is so inspiring. I look up to her. Like, and so that must be a good person to follow. But this is where it gets, I think, I don't know where Zoe is. This is where it gets a little bit slippery, because that quickly can teeter into all the things we've just kind of talked about in those stories that we can talk about. Like, yeah. No, I got distracted now that Aubrey's on my lap.
It's okay. Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny. I'm trying to think of like what else has changed for me. And I guess the biggest thing is that, yeah, like I started thyroid medication and I keep forgetting that that's like a major thing that has changed in my life. And don't worry for all the crunchy people out there who are like, you know, like doing a big like, oh, gross, like, oh, medication, big pharma. Oh my God. It's okay. I'm okay, guys. I'm okay. Don't worry. I'm well informed. It's all good. but yeah, it has honestly been, I haven't really shared much about this, but I have Hashimoto's, which is like an autoimmune version of hypothyroidism. My mom has it. My grandmother has it. There's very much a strong genetic link here, but, yeah, it's been interesting to notice the difference in myself since starting the medication. I'm on very low doses. It's so crazy because it's not like I have all of a sudden some like artificial energy. It's like all of a sudden, I tried to explain this to my husband last night. And I said something like, it's not like energy has been added. It's like the heaviness of my fatigue has gone away. So it's like not this like caffeinated, weird, buzzy energy. It's just like like an exhale. Like I feel like I can relax. I'm much more calm. I'm much more happy. I'm much more motivated. I don't feel like I have ADD anymore. So it's so interesting to see how all of this kind of ties together. And if we're talking about like
totally.
Holistic beings, right? I think we all so
yeah.
easily get so stuck in our little silos, right? And think that, you know, if I'm having trouble launching something, it's because I'm, you know, my nervous system is dysregulated. Well, sure. Yeah. But there's lots of other things that also contribute to that, right? Like, what are you eating? What's your thyroid doing? You know, are you, there's just so much. And we all get so kind of sucked into this idea that it's like, there's one perfect kind of medicine for you, you know, whatever that medicine is, when it really is a holistic kind of thing. So yeah, so that's been another just big change in my life. And I can't be like, oh no, that's not playing a part, when it is most definitely playing a part. And I'm mm-hmm. so
yeah, it's a layer. It's like a thread to like your own tapestry of self.
Yeah.
I just kind of had like this like garden visual as you were sharing all that. And you and I like use garden metaphors all the time. But like much like a garden, when you're planting whatever you're planting, it's not just about like, oh, how much water is it getting or how much sun is it getting? It's all the other things around it too. It's how fertile is the soil before you even plant it. It's how's like the drainage system for the water you are giving it? What is the relationship with the plants around it? Like, what are you actually
planting?
Yeah,
what's the soil health?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then of course, like what's happening around it in like the actual like context of nature and sun and rain and wind and hail and like it's all of it, right? And it's like the humidity, and like it's obviously I'm here in Calgary, I can't plant palm trees. That's a bad example because I don't think you can either, but
yeah, we can. Yeah, there's palm trees.
Okay, that's cool. I can't plant palm trees here. I don't even think I could grow like watermelon if I tried. So like stuff like that, just recognizing that like there's more to it than just perfect water and perfect soil and perfect sun exposure.
Yeah.
Like it's all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. yeah. And it's funny, earlier you said that like this phase of toddlerhood is kind of feels like the hardest phase for you. And it's funny
and
because
the best.
And the best for sure. Yeah. Yeah. But it's funny for me, like, I love this phase. Like, this feels so much easier to me than, I don't even remember the newborn phase. And I keep trying to think of why. And I just think it's like,
do you think you are ahead of me in a phase?
I
tell myself that. Yeah, I think you are one phase ahead of me.
Yeah, because they're about 6 months apart, right?
I think we're just shy of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also barely remember the newborn phase. But yeah, I feel like right now we're like in the thick of toddlerhood. Yeah. And I think we're on the cusp of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably what you're experiencing right now.
Yes. When there's a little bit, a tiny bit more like rational thought possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's funny. Like it's me, right? It's my internal landscape. Totally. It's my lack of severe dysregulation that I had, you know, throughout most of postpartum up until probably like 18 months or more, even 2 years. So yeah, it's just interesting to pay attention to all of that. And a big part of me kind of wishes that I would have like had medication back then and got my thyroid all sorted out sooner and, you know, had all these like nervous system regulation tools, you know, even before pregnancy. But yeah, I don't know why I'm rambling on about this now. I've lost my connection here.
Anyway. I love the ramble. And I think like, this is just important conversation that like needs to be had in the motherhood space.
Yeah. Because
I mean, we've talked about this in previous conversations where there's just such a harsh duality around things, right? It's like, there's still a lot of binary black and white thinking. And even in like, I don't know, a good example is like the crunchy mom groups, right? Like you have to do all these things in order to be crunchy. And like some of those things are actually quite radical and like not supportive to, I want to say, kind of like modern day life, if that's not your usual way of living. So that in itself, like trying to get yourself all the way over there can be dysregulating on its own. And I think I'm going to ramble now. There's like, I don't know, so much talk about like the physical stuff, what you're eating and what you're consuming in the context of like what skincare you're using or what kind of sunscreen you put on your kid or what candles you're burning in your house. And yeah, all of that stuff is really important. But again, if we're looking at it truly from a holistic lens and through a holistic perspective, like we have to be looking at what's the mental chatter around that? How much stress are you putting yourself into try to eat 100% organic or dye-free or whatever it is that you're going towards? And how is your nervous system responding to those changes? And I would argue that at a certain point, like those radical changes aren't actually supportive if your nervous system can't hold it.
Yeah. And everybody wants to do all those changes so quickly and all at once. And your nervous system loves slowness, right? So, like little sips at a time of something new so that you can maintain that sense of safety as you go. And I just think, we're in a time of such extremes in general. It's like you're one or the other. And we've kind of talked about this too, like the extremes of like the free birthing movement. You know, where it's like it's almost reactionary to how terrible, you know, our modern maternity care has been and all of the birth trauma and the way women are treated and maternal death rates and all of that. It's like this really intense reaction to that. And it's like swung the entire other way where it's like, well, then, you know, now I need to birth absolutely alone all by myself without any help. And that puts me up on a pedestal somehow. So it's just so interesting to see how all things play out, both like on a small level and on a macro level.
I feel like we can dedicate a whole episode to that conversation, but just coming back to like that reactionary response. And I think once you can kind of like zoom out and see it, you can't unsee it in other realms. And I know like for me, like that's kind of become a big passion of mine in the business space is again, seeing that really reactionary, that harsh pendulum swing of, okay, on one side, there's kind of the traditional bro marketing boss babe culture that is quite frankly, like there's a lot of toxic masculinity. There's a lot of just other systems of oppression kind of tangling its way into that side of things. And I think for a lot of heart-led women entrepreneurs, especially those kind of in more of like the service-based
industry.
Space, right? So like doulas, coaches, stuff like that. We're experiencing a lot of friction with that side. And it's like, yeah, that's not working. So then that strong reaction is to move all the way to the other side, the more like feminine led, fluffy, woo woo, gonna like rub crystals together and just like pull cards to like, that's my strategy. And basically like no strategy. And it's all very like heavy with intuition and all of that and like energetics. And like, I love all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. But this is a big reason why Recalibrate was created, is because I saw this harsh pendulum swing in the business space. And it's like, wait a minute, we need to kind of find a center. We don't need to be on either radical side, either extreme. And then the other kicker is that that center point is going to be different for you. It's going to be different for me. And it's going to be different for like each season of our life. So as soon as we get attached to like one so-called strategy, it's very likely not going to work in like the next season of motherhood. Because like, look at you, the capacity and tolerance you have right now in terms of what you can kind of pour out of your business is very different than what you would have been able to do a year ago. And I mean, yeah, I mean, I could go on and on and on, but
just yeah, well, no, it's interesting.
The duality of like the polarizing sides is everywhere. Like seriously, once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's everywhere.
Yeah. And I feel like we kind of together experienced that in business, right? We started in a program that was very like masculine strategy led. And then we both kind of like, no, we're strategy less. We don't need any business strategy at all. We're just going to follow our feminine and let it guide us and just float and like drift through life. And now
and did it work? Do you have a six-figure business, Lauren? Because I don't. It didn't work.
And it's been neat for us both to kind of like come to this realization that like, no, that's not it either. And then slowly kind of find our way back to center for each of us. And we do this with everything, right? Like you're talking about it from your perspective, which is business. And from my perspective in a more like kind of nervous system regulation way, we do it with that too. It's like, I'm so dysregulated. I'm an angry mom. I'm raging all the time. So I need to learn these nervous system tools to
I'm going to go cold plunge for 5 minutes every morning. It's like, whoa. That probably isn't going to be supportive if you've never done any nervous system regulation practices.
And just,
that's the last thing your body needs.
So stressful in a different way. And it's just interesting. Oh, I lost my train of thought. Where'd it go?
Sorry, I got really excited about the example because I see it everywhere. It's like, why?
It's true.
Like, I totally understand the benefits, but again, much like a totally organic dye-free diet, like if your nervous system is getting jacked up just to be able to get to that outcome, then it's defeating the purpose.
Yeah. And like, even we get mixed up with the idea of what regulation even is. It's like, oh, regulation means I'm just like a robot and calm at all times. And I don't get to experience any big emotions. And that's not it either. So it's like, you're swinging from I'm raging and angry, and now I'm just going to be numb. And it's like, that's not it. It's in the middle. It's, you're able to tolerate it all a little bit more, a little bit easier. So it's
like being able to like learn how to ride a surfboard and actually like surf the waves. So it's not about getting rid of the waves. It's about how can we actually like ride these things and not let them completely derail us.
That's it right there. That's like the best description of what like somatic coaching,
nervous system regulation,
nervous system
riding the waves.
Exactly. Riding the waves. Where are you in your cycle? I mean, I think I know.
We totally like went off track there, hey? But I love that. Like, I'm really excited to see where these episodes take us when we don't have a really tight structure. I think I'm on day 15, and I've totally been leaning into the ovulatory energy. I haven't necessarily noticed my creativity increase. And actually, it's funny that I just said that, because I don't usually, my creativity usually peaks more in my luteal phase. And in my ovulatory phase, I definitely just have that like buzzy energy. I'm definitely more motivated. I have like this internal drive of like, okay, I actually want to like be seen. I want people to like hear what I have to say. I want to start talking about things that I've kind of been keeping quiet. And even this morning I was laying in bed and I had like my train of thought was just on fire with like spicy comment after spicy comment. And of course I've lost most of them, but it's like, man, I wish like that train of thought could like come up to play in the middle of the day when I can do an IG live or something, not when I'm supposed to be sleeping. But yeah, so day 15, but then also, like I said, I think tomorrow is like 2 weeks since I started getting sick, and I'm definitely like getting better, but I still have so much sinus congestion. And I'm probably not sleeping amazing. So I'm sure all of that is also impacting my energy. There's something else I was going to say and I forget. I think just the overarching stress of finances in our household right now. Also, again, it's so layered, right? Like, it's not just about like, where are you at in your menstrual cycle and like, how's that impacting your energy? It's like, okay, what are all the other things that are also, having an impact? So yeah, like it's just all of it. And then toddlerhood right now, like it's just a lot.
You're in it.
I am.
Yeah.
And you, you're a couple days behind me.
Yeah, I think I'm on day 13, which is actually interesting. We're getting closer and closer because my cycles are getting shorter and shorter. I tend to go into like 34, 35 days long. And I think
that's
from
the thyroid medication. Your hormones are just leveling out. Yeah.
Yes. And I actually had, I don't know how much information, how deep we're going here, but my last period, like my last menstruation phase was amazing. It was like the lightest one I've had in years. And I usually have very heavy bleeding, which is all, it's all a cycle.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but it's all related, right? Like the thyroid, the progesterone, like this cycle of low iron and heavy bleeding, it's all connected. So it's been really neat to see that, yeah, I've finally like found a kink in the chain that I can like fix and improve. So it's been neat. So yeah, anyway, so my cycle's getting shorter and shorter, more, you know, air quotes, normal-ish, whatever that means. So I'm on day 13. I don't feel like I usually ovulate much later too, like into day 20. So I don't feel like I'm there yet. I'm not feeling that shift. I'm very much still feeling the early follicular phase kind of energy. So I don't know. I don't have much to say in that realm. I feel kind of just kind of stable, kind of, yeah, no big shifts right now. No big. Yeah, just stable and generally quite happy, which is really nice.
Stable is a beautiful word. And I think kind of like that neutrality of stability is boring.
And
we think we, again, kind of that surfing analogy, like we want the big waves because they're fun. Of course, if you can actually ride them, then they're fun. But there is also something really beautiful about just like calmness, stability, boring. Like we need more of that because I think that's when we can actually rest. And that's when we can actually like, wait a minute, what's going on in my inner world? Like what's actually moving through me right now? Because it's really hard to pay attention to all of that when we are riding a big wave.
Yeah. It's like riding the big waves is fun, but so is floating on your surfboard, looking at the sunset.
Exactly. There we go. Oh, I love it. Yeah. There we go. Okay. Let's kind of tie all this into the lunar cycle. So, basically we're leaning into the full moon energy right now. And I was actually this morning, again, while I was laying in bed having some spicy thoughts, I was also like, oh, Lauren and I are recording today. I guess we're going to be talking about the full moon. I don't know shit fuck about the full moon. Like, I literally don't know. Like, I feel like, okay, new moon, we understand that's for like intention setting. It's the beginning. It's kind of planting seeds. That makes sense. Full moon, like my mind kind of understands it as obviously it's the brightest and it's kind of shining light on things. And I, the words of like potency and depth and power kind of come to mind. And then kind of tying it into the other seasons. So like, I think full moon energy would mirror like summer. So again, just like full days, lots of energy, in the menstrual cycle, it'd go with ovulation. So again, just more of that energy, more of that like potency and that drive to be seen. But that's kind mm-hmm. of all I know. Like I don't know much more about it. Like, I don't know if, is it, it's not really about reflection, because reflection would come at the end of the cycle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know shit either. but yeah, what I understand is that, yeah, like peak energy, like you said, it's the brightest time, it's shining full a light, bloom. Full bloom. But then after full bloom comes letting go and completion. So it is like mm-hmm. the completion of the cycle. So it's more of this like letting go energy. Like, what do I want to release? What's holding me back? That's my very minimal understanding.
And actually, when you just said all that, I can kind of feel into that. I feel like, yeah, there's been this, I can tap into the full bloom aspect of like light being, like light is shining down on things and it's actually making things more clear for me so that I know what I want to let go of. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. that's working. Yeah. That's not. I feel like I'm experiencing that right now where there's just a lot of clarity in the sense of, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. Or I really like this. I want more of this. And yeah. I didn't experience that say 2 weeks ago. So maybe that's full moon energy. Am I embodying yeah. it?
Yeah. I love that we get to just play with this. Like, again, we're not, this isn't is our realm. Play. Like, yeah, it's no, play. It's not. Fun.
And to make it more confusing, like, okay, the full moon is in, I don't even know, because I didn't look it up before the call. I know we just entered Aries season, so what the heck does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it actually works. We need to get like an actual astrologist on here to give us a quick rundown, I think.
Maybe. Seriously, because yeah, how does that work? Like, we just entered Aries season and there's a whole bunch of like stuff. I think we might even be in some like Mercury microwave situation. And so that's impacting things. And then I think there's also a lunar eclipse right now. Yeah. Can you only have an eclipse with a full moon?
Yeah.
And what does that mean? We should Google something right now. Let's actually like be smart for 2 seconds. March full moon lunar. Because I think this full moon's a big deal, but I could not tell you why.
Well, okay, so what I have is that it's a lunar eclipse in Libra, and it's about the scales of justice coming into balance, and through facing our shadows and healing of past karma around relationship, people pleasing, and playing small. This is coming from someone on
Story
Instagram.
Of my life.
Yeah. This is from someone called Oath Oracle on Instagram. And it just says, like, this clearing is not easy. Relational wounds are the core of almost all traumas and unhealthy patterning. The patterns run deep, and this eclipse will be pushing and triggering us to face the darkness.
Hmm.
So, yeah, her question is, like, what are you letting go of at this full moon eclipse?
That feels like such a big question.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, for me, I've just been noticing a lot of people-pleasing tendencies and, like, a fawn response in my nervous system come up when I feel like I had quote unquote healed parts of that. And so there's a teeny tiny bit of frustration that it's coming up again, but I can also hold space and recognize that it's coming up again because I'm kind of at this like new level, and it's just illuminating opportunities and invitations for me to lean more into myself. So I guess I would like to let go of that very distorted need to appease other people and make other people happy. And I mean, yeah. I've been experiencing that even in my business quite loudly the past couple of months, of just wanting to make sure everyone is happy and wanting to almost like borderline like codependency. And again, now that that's been illuminated, I'm like, okay, no more. We're severing that now. We're nipping it in the bud.
And I think you said something important there that we should like clarify, that like healing something doesn't mean that it's gone forever. healing something means that the next time it comes up, and it will come up, you have a greater capacity to manage it. So I think like releasing that idea that, oh, I've healed this, like it should never, I should never do it again. It should never happen again. I should always be able to not be the people pleaser. And that's just not it. That's not how it works. And so much compassion for that. But really what it is showing you is that you are aware of it, and that you have the tools and the means and the reflective capacity to get through it a lot easier now and a lot quicker now, and make sense of it and move forward. So yeah, I just want to, healing does not mean that it's never going to happen again, you know?
Yeah. And it's funny because like you and I know that, right? Like that's stuff that we like teach and coach. It's literally like the air that we breathe. But it's often easier to see that and like coach that to someone else. Like obviously we are the hardest. We're always like our toughest critic, right? So yeah, it kind of can sometimes feel like, oh, I must be doing something wrong then, because it's, I don't know. Yeah. It sounds so silly when I'm like speaking it out loud, but I'm trying to like feel how internally like it does come back up. And then there's almost a teeny tiny like punch of shame of like, oh, you didn't do it good enough. Shame on you. Shame on you for letting this back in. And it's like, no. Like, this is actually good. Like, it's almost like, can we celebrate when it comes back? Because it's proof and it's validation and it's evidence that we are at a new level.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That we're...
Did you ever name your inner critic? Were we talking about
no.
that?
Yeah, no. I think we've talked about it. And then I did like a whole story poll question box of like what other people have named theirs. Because every luteal phase, when she comes out and she's loud, I do want to name her. But I actually, this is so funny, and maybe other people can relate to this. I don't think she's a she. I think she is more of a, I don't know, like, I guess a male, kind of living in that, like, bro marketing, hustle, patriarchal world.
That's juicy,
which is really interesting too. Yeah, I don't know. That kind of got weird. I don't know.
We should explore that in a session, Nicole.
I have a hard time naming her. Like anytime I think of a name, I'm like, oh no, because what if like I come across someone that's named that? Or like, what if I do actually bring about someone that I know that's named, like, and then I have this weird like, well, now I can't detached from that person. It's just weird. I need to name it like something that doesn't even correspond to like an English name.
Yeah, and I mean there's lots of different thoughts about this, like naming it really like others it, when in reality that inner critic is you, and we're trying to reintegrate that into the whole, right? So naming it something else can sometimes feel a little like opposite to what you're trying to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but trusting whatever feels right and feels right for your little critic.
I think the thought process around maybe it shouldn't even have like a female name is just because I see when my inner critic is really loud, it is holding on to a lot of stories that are deep in toxic masculinity. So, yeah, it's just more that like masculine essence. And so then my mind kind of goes like masculine, more male. And that even in itself is way too black and white. And I don't want to go there.
Yeah. But it's interesting because a lot of time we think that these parts of us are so like internally driven, but they can be from external sources. Like it can be actually a male figure in your life that, you know, was always saying certain things to you. It can be from the culture that you live in. It can be from,
well, I would argue that internal part of us, that internal, I think you said like the internal driven part, is created from external imprints and conditioning, right? Like through the first 7-ish years of our life. And I think my logical mind kind of sees past that and then sees it as like a systemic conditioning and what systems were at play to create that inner voice. And so again, that's where like the toxic masculinity comes in for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways, that was another.
Yeah, how did we get here?
Coming back to that question of like, what are you wanting to let go of? Does anything come up for you?
I think first I need to reflect on how impactful coming together on that new moon and just setting those few intentions. Like, I don't even remember what I said, but I know that it was all around like, what's the word I'm looking for? Community, not community.
Collaboration.
Collaboration. Thank you. That's the one. It was around like collaboration and connecting with other people. And I'm just amazed at, just by putting my attention on that, you know, a few weeks ago, how many things have happened. Like I ran that mother circle. I don't know if that was before or after, but I made new connections.
It was right after our call. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So made new beautiful connections through that. And then I've made some random new connections in the city that I live in, which I haven't really been able to do. I've been very kind of isolated, but self-inflicted since we moved here like 5-6 years ago. So I finally feel like I'm finding a little bit of community here, which has been so nice. I'm putting myself out there. I'm attending somebody else's women's circle next week in my little town. So I'm so excited about that. So it was really neat to just notice myself taking action and trying to create connection because of that intention that I set. And I think it just shows the power of these little rituals. And ritual really is just like adding intention to anything that you're doing. So I love that we're doing this and I can already see the power of it. So all of that to say, I'm loving all the community that I'm building. I've been having amazing conversations in my DMs with people, like connecting with people, and it's really sparked a lot of creativity around something that I want to create. So I've been really diving into that, and it's all around this idea of community and connection. So yeah, I've just loved what has come from setting those intentions a few weeks ago. So what am I letting go of? Yeah, I guess just, it's so interesting. Like there's nothing like bubbling at the surface, you know. It's not like, I feel like I'm going to have to dig for something.
I also wonder again, because this is so like multi-layered, right? You identified that you're still kind of in that follicular energy. Internally, you're not even in the obvious ovulatory full bloom, shining, full moon energy. So maybe it hasn't been revealed to you yet.
Yeah.
It's so interesting when you kind of just start dissecting it all.
Oh, I love that. Because again, we start to get so caught up in like, oh, I'm going to follow the rhythm of the moon, or I'm going to follow the rhythm of my cycle. And then it's like, wait, but all these things are happening at the same time and they're in different phases. And how do we blend it all together? And I think it's just a beautiful reminder that you can't get stuck in someone else's or something else's timeline or strategy, or you know what I mean? And it all has to come back to, well, what's happening inside for you? Is that different? It's not wrong. It's just what's happening for you, and just becoming so attuned to yourself and to what is happening. So I think that's a beautiful reminder, really. And you're right. Yeah. Why do I need to come up with something if it's not ready yet? It's not.
You don't. But I would be curious if in a couple of days, if something does kind of reveal itself to you, you'll have to pay attention and then report back in our next check-in. But coming back to kind of your share around obviously the impact of intention setting and setting ritual, I know like for us creating this podcast series, having these semi-consistent check-ins was about creating a bit of ritual for us. Mm-hmm. And I just want to put language, I guess, to the fact that like ritual, I mean, for me, I've never necessarily resonated with that word. It's felt a little bit woo. It's felt a little bit witchy. It's felt a little bit, if I'm setting a ritual, if I'm going to like start taking part in rituals, then that might mean that I need this like perfectly curated altar and the right like, I don't know, it just starts getting a little bit complex, because I think sometimes, again, we just kind of look at the extremes of things, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
For me, just bringing it back to, well, no, truly, ritualizing something is about bringing intention and kind of creating space for that moment in time, you could say, bringing attention and awareness to what's going on in, like, your inner world and your external world. And I think just really magnifying how potent the fact that, like, where we put our attention, like, where our attention goes grows, right? So the impact of ritualizing things, bringing intention to things, is really about fine-tuning and attuning where our attention is, and that's where the manifestations kind of come, is because of that energetic universal, just like the energetics of, like, where your attention is grows. I keep repeating the same thing, but
yeah. And I've been, I just started reading,
and that declaration, it's also like the declaration to the universe, like, this is what I want, this is what I'm available for. And so that's opening you up to receive it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, and I think, like you mentioned, that even the word ritual kind of brings up some interesting feelings. And I think a lot of that is related to the fact that, like, you know, that witch wound that, you know, our foremothers were probably severely punished for doing ritual in whatever way.
Ritual was dangerous.
Yes. Yeah.
Ritual was
so
seen
then,
as bad. And I know for me, coming from a Christian, I wouldn't even say household, because I don't necessarily consider the household I grew up in to be super Christian, but definitely, like, a Christian community, going to a private Christian school, a lot of my friends having very religious families, all of that has put great imprints and conditioning into my system to kind of hold on to these stories that, ooh, maybe this isn't allowed, maybe this is bad, maybe this, because in the past, like, in religion, in Christianity, some of that stuff has been demonized before.
And but it's so funny, because
it is so funny. It's so, like, I mean, we, again, a whole episode could be done on this about like the history and, like, how so much nuance is lacking and how history has really distorted the true meaning of a lot of these things that we're kind of unraveling right now.
But it's funny, because religion is so full of ritual. Like, I come from a Catholic household. We drank the body of Christ because someone said it was the body of Christ. Like, and we ate little pieces of, they tasted like cardboard because it was
bread.
You know,
yeah. The dry bread.
So it's just so funny that it's like ritual has become this, like, witchy condemned,
and then, like, you pray, you're the, what is it, the rosemary, where the rosary, the beads, it's like,
like
you're basically rubbing beads together, but it's demonized to, like, play with crystals.
exactly It's just like oppressor and oppressed. It's who's got the louder voice here, and so that kind's okay and this kind's not. But it's all about kind of like you said, we're adding intention to what we're doing. We're adding intention and giving meaning. We're making meaning.
Yeah.
We're meaning
making. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, and I think part of that intention and meaning making also coincides with dot connecting, and the dot connecting comes from the questioning and, like, non-judgmental curiosity. Really beginning to ask, like, why are we doing things this way? And beginning to challenge the way it's always been done. I know that's been a really big part of my journey. Like, that's really how it all started, is with that curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a good quote in this book I'm reading. It says, "Ritual is a tool to focus our attention on meaning. This is a skill we can develop to enhance each moment of our lives. To be truly present in our own lives is an ability we must develop if we are to continue building a foundation of relatedness and beauty in a world that can seem so divided and in pain." And that's from a book called The Art of Ritual.
That sounds like a good book. I'm writing it down. I also really appreciated that they're calling it a skill that needs to be kind of built and practiced, which I think takes, at least for me, it kind of gives that full body exhale of like, okay, this isn't something that is potentially supposed to be innate and feel supernatural. Mm-hmm. I think for some people it does, if like your ancestral lineage has set you up for that. But if it hasn't, it's okay that this is a skill that needs to be learned. And it might take some unlearning and untangling to be able to get there.
And letting go of this idea that it has to look like something. Like, I think when you think of ritual, it's like, oh, well, I have to have an altar and I have to put random feathers on my altar. It's like, no, ritual can mean that every time we sit down to do this, we each light a candle first.
Yeah.
Like that is ritual. It's something that we're doing together with intention and a purpose. So ritual gets to be whatever you want it to be. And it doesn't have to look like, you know, some witchy thing or some religious thing
That leads me to ask, we're heading into Easter. What are your Easter rituals?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot.
Family. Me too. Because we, again, coming from a Christian background, honestly, I couldn't even tell you what like traditions or rituals around Easter we had, because the things we did were just very mainstream. This is what you do on Easter. So I got a chocolate bunny and maybe there was an Easter egg hunt and there was probably a family dinner, but there was no intention behind it. It's like, we're just doing this because society tells you that's what you should do on Easter.
Yeah. Yeah. Similar to me as well. And I grew up Catholic. So there was a lot of like going to church on Easter and eating big meals as a big family. Yeah. So that was a nice piece of it, like the connection, the community. And honestly, I think I've been like untangling Easter with Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
So these last number of years before Zoe was born, we didn't even, like both Cohen and I, we didn't even acknowledge Easter. We're like, that's not something we celebrate. It's not our thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have no connection to it. But now, you know, last year, I think we did like an Easter egg hunt with Zoe, but I'm still lacking the language to describe it in like a secular way. Like, I don't want to talk about Jesus. Nobody is dying and resurrecting in our home. Like, no, that's just not the story for us. And that's great that it's for other people, of course, but that's just not for us. But I just bought a book called The Wheel of the Year.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. It's a really, where is it? It's a really beautiful book. I don't know where I put it.
Well, and so The Wheel of the Year, in terms of like Easter and spring equinox, like all of that is around fertility, and that's where the tradition of like eggs comes in.
Yeah,
the symbolism, that's another word we haven't really untangled, the symbolism that comes in ritual and ceremony. And so eggs being a symbol for fertility and like newness, and that's I think where the Easter egg hunt would have come from.
Yeah, and there was something
bunnies, I assume, too, also have that symbolic meaning of fertilities, right? I don't need to make a sex joke there. Someone else can just finish the thought.
Oh, and in this book, it talks about, so hares.
Sometimes, yes.
But different. Hares build nest-like homes by flattening tall grass. And sometimes a ground nesting bird will take over a hare's nest and lay its eggs in there. Which may explain the legend of the Easter Bunny, a bunny who carries a basket of colorful eggs.
So the Easter Bunny is laying the nest for the eggs. Oh my goodness. That just gives me like full body tingles.
Nature's
so cool. And the collaboration.
And I mean, for a lot of people, you know, all of this is related to like pagan, you know, kind of understanding of the world. And the reason I like it is because it's, like it says, an illustrated guide to nature's rhythm. Like, it's just so connected to nature. And that's what I can connect with. Nature is God to me. Like, that's my understanding. Really,
this is called The Wheel of the Year.
It's called The Wheel of the Year, an illustrated guide to nature's rhythms. It's like a kid, it's meant for like older kids, I think. And there's like activities in it. And yeah,
I am just an older kid. I was telling my husband yesterday on our brunch date, because we're both turning 30 this year. And so many people are surprised to hear that I'm only turning 30 because I'm basically like a little granny. But I was saying to him, like, hey, do you feel like 30? Like, what age do you feel like? And he is like, I don't know. I don't think about that stuff, because he truly doesn't think about that stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I either feel like I'm like 36 or 12. Like, there's no in between. I either feel like I'm still just kind of this, like, not little girl, but like, yeah, kind of like early adolescent, pre-adolescent, still kind of looking up at everyone and thinking, oh my God, like, there's so much potential and beauty in this world. I can't wait to become them, which kind of mimics what I was saying about the internal stories I kind of hold around inspiration and scrolling online. It's not so much about me not being enough. It's about seeing everyone else as so much bigger than me, which is so interesting, because that really kind of, yeah, explains the 12-year-old that I still kind of feel like I am. And then, or kind of like 36 to 40, like late 30s, where, yeah, it's just so interesting. I don't feel my age.
Yeah, it's so funny to think about. Like, I'm going to be 35 this year, which, like, none of my birthdays, it's not like, oh, turning 30 was a big deal, turning 25 was a big deal. Like, none of it felt like a big deal. But for some reason, 35 feels like a big deal to me. It feels like I'm crossing over into a different phase of life. And yeah, and when I think about it, it's like, I think I just feel, I feel 30. I think 30 is the age that I feel kind of a maturity of 30, life experience, and it just kind of stopped there. Like, I've stopped counting at 30. So if anyone asks, I'm 30.
Okay. Yeah, again, it's just so interesting to think about how kind of society defines these certain age milestones, right? And I think 30 potentially would be one of them. 35 would not be, right? 35 is one that people would just blink twice and it's over, or even like intentionally try to skip. But this, again, just kind of shows how beautiful it is to bring intention and to make meaning and add ritual and ceremony, and just really feel into, okay, I'm actually feeling a pull to allow this milestone to have importance to me.
Yeah.
And you get to define that.
Yeah. 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 And I mean, that's what like ceremony and ritual is. It's defining like beginnings, endings, transitions.
That makes me think of kind of like, oh, we could talk forever more, because now my mind is like, well, now we just talk about like rites of passage and how like that really marks like the beginning and the end of something and like the start of something new. And for so many women, like, we are kind of in this incompleted rite of passage, especially around motherhood. Oh, I could go on and on. All the more reason we need ritual in our life, because it really does help to complete some of those incompleted rites of passages in our life. I don't even know how long we've been talking. We've gone in every direction.
I know. I'm thinking about like writing the description for this episode. It's going to be hard.
This is exactly what I was kind of envisioning for these conversations, though, right? Like, sometimes it's going to be a little bit scattered like this. Sometimes maybe we will have an intention and go deep into one of these tangents that we've kind of scratched the surface on. But this is the kind of stuff that you and I literally talk for hours about.
This is how we roll. This is how it goes.
I love it. Is there anything else that's coming up for you? Are you feeling complete for this episode? We didn't really finish the chat around Easter. It sounds like neither of us have answers to what we would like Easter to look like in our household. And I think that that in itself is allowed, right? It can take potentially several years, several Easters to create the tradition. I think if we just continue to go at each milestone, Easter holiday, whatever you want to call it, if we approach it with that intention of, I am open to kind of setting new traditions and just kind of pulling in different sources of inspiration and learning more about, like you just read, about the hare flattening the grass for the birds to lay a nest, and then that's where the eggs come. Like when we can start to learn those things, mm-hmm. that can open up our hearts and our minds to new ideas of what we want it to look like.
Yeah, I think it's feeling, I mean, somewhat complete. We like pulled the thread of so many different things, but yeah. So maybe that's it for today.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. And I like the mystery that has now sprouted because some of those threads have been pulled just a little bit loose. I love that.
Yeah, lots of interesting things to think about. Yeah.
Alrighty. Thanks, Lauren, as usual. I would love to hear, for those that are listening, if any of these threads we've just pulled on ignites anything. And if so, like, message us. We would love to include you in the conversation. We'd love to hear what is unraveling for you, and maybe what is landing or not landing. Just anything.
Come chat with us. I love nothing more than to have real conversation and connection around this stuff. All right. Well, we'll see you, hear you, whatever. See you, hear you. Next time on the new moon.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Bye, Lauren.
Bye.